Good morning, Monsignor. How are you?
How happy I am to talk to you and to be with you today and to just be here.
Well, how delightful.
These days are full of grace, God's presence, and an awareness of who we are in Him and who He is in us. It's just so the days, the one of the cases that we were studying was an exorcist, and it was a case of, in the confessional. And it was even before he was aware that he had these great powers as an exorcist. If there were priests there, he'd just gone into the confessional. There was a darkness that came in with this one person. It was like an obvious presence of evil. And even as the person came into the confessional, the presence of a strong evil, and he was going to attack the priest, and something within him said, "Don't be afraid. This is really my case. I'm with you now. Don't be afraid." And the man came after him, and the priest just almost instinctively lifted up, and he could feel not him being himself. "This belongs to Jesus. This is the confessional of Jesus Christ." And the man began to growl and fell at his feet. "I am going to kill you." "No, you're not. This is the confessional of Jesus Christ." And the scenario, like that we heard, the power of Jesus. And the falling down and the driving out of Satan by a priest who had really little or no training. That was his first case, and it was kind of thrust on him in the confessional. And so we studied cases, but we are becoming so aware on this school of the kingship of Jesus Christ. So it's kind of a general atmosphere here today, but it certainly is the message that is given to us today. Brothers and sisters, and Chris, and anyone who's listening, wherever you are a king. You are a prophet, and you are a priest. Every baptized Christian, if you are baptized into Jesus Christ, there, you have a realm. The kingdom of God is within you. And the readings that are given to us are so powerful with regard to those who had the kingdom from Scripture within themselves and were unable. The whole story of humankind is the inability, the powerlessness of any human being, no matter how powerful, to fall prey to the brokenness of our own weakness, our own brokenness. And so we read in the 47th chapter of Sirach, beginning with the second verse. Listen to this story. "Like the choice fat of sacred offering, so was David in Israel. He played with lions as though they were young goats, and with bears as lambs of the flock. And a youth, he struck down the giant and wiped out the people's disgrace. His hand let fly the sling stone that shattered the pride of Goliath, for he had called upon the Most High God. In David was the desire to glorify God, yes. And in David was this great beauty, and God was using him, King David, who gave strength to his right arm. King David was strengthened by God to defeat the skilled warrior and establish the might of the people. Therefore, the women were singing his praises and honoring him as he went forth into battle. When he received the royal crown, he battled and subdued the enemy at every side. He commanded against the hostile Philistines and shattered the power of the enemies in his own day. With his every deed, he offered sacrifice and thanks to God. He had this beautiful gift of the Psalms. Our Psalms, the 150 Psalms, mostly come from David. He was a man who glorified God to God the Most High in words of praise. Maker, and daily had his praises sung. He added beauty to the feasts and the solemnities and the seasons of each year. David was a man of God. And when he was tempted, and when temptation came along, David fell. Every human being, what's the story of human power? Always we are weak. We are unable. No human being in the history of the world. Our first parents fell. We all inherited a pus that came from them. And kings inherited that. This is many of the stories. Now, in today's gospel, there is another king. And that same interior kingdom. What is the kingdom I'd like to talk about today? The kingdom that is within you. The kingdom of God is in your heart. Beloved brother, you are a king. You are a priest and you are a prophet in your own heart because Jesus is in you. Who are you? Beloved sister, today these stories of David and Herod that I'm about to read are addressed to you. Human stories about human people like ourselves who were kings. David was a king and Herod was a king. And so we read in the sixth chapter of Mark's gospel, beginning with the 14th verse, this sad story. King Herod heard about it, for his fame he'd heard about Jesus. His fame had become widespread, and people were saying, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why these mighty deeds are being worked by him. So Jesus was supposed to be John the Baptist raised from the dead. He's getting this terrific reputation. Others said, he is Elijah. Still others said, he is a prophet, like any of the other prophets. But when Herod heard about Jesus, he said, it is John the Baptist I had beheaded. He has been raised from the dead. I believe. Herod was one who had John arrested and bound in prison on account of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip, whom he had married. John had said to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Herodias harbored a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but was unable to do so. Herod feared John, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man, and kept him in custody. When he heard him speak, he was very perplexed, yet he liked to listen to him. She had an opportunity one day when Herod on his birthday, gave a banquet to his courtiers, his military officers, and the leading men of Galilee. Herodias's own daughter came to the banquet and performed a dance that delighted Herod and his guests. The king said to the girl, "Ask of me whatever you want, and I will grant it to you." He even offered an oath to her, "I will grant you whatever you ask of me, even if it be half of my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "What shall I ask for?" Her mother replied, "The head of John the Baptist." The girl hurried back to the presence of the king and made this request, "I want you to give me the head of John the Baptist on a platter." The king was disturbed deeply, but because of his oath and because of the guests, he did not want to go back on his word. So he promptly dispatched an executioner with orders to bring back his head. He went off and beheaded him in the prison. He brought back the head on a platter and gave it to the girl. The girl, in turn, gave it to her mother. When his disciples, that is John, heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. This corruption of power, this evil that comes upon Herod and his family here at this time, he and his wife, how loathsome it is to have a husband-wife relationship based on this kind of hatred. You see, in every case, that when David was corrupt, there was another there who was a prophet. The prophet was Nathan, to correct the power of the king. And David also had a priestly power, because of his worship and the temple and the graces that he was given as the head. He is going to have from his loins, and it's promised, and it goes on in the book of Sirach, and the story in the scriptures is that David is going to have a son, and his son is going to establish a kingdom of God forever. David was born in Bethlehem. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. The only one who ever was sinless and the Son of God was Jesus Christ. Every other king needed a prophet to try and correct them. Every other king who was going to offer sacrifice to God. And what did Jesus have? Jesus was the king, Jesus was the priest, and Jesus was the prophet. That Jesus is in you. Every baptized person, because of the economy of divine salvation, how God had planned it, that he, Jesus, suffered and died and rose. And when he went back to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit upon his apostles and transformed them. The church, head at the right hand of God, and we here on earth, people of God, this is who you are. You are in him. And the sad story, even like our day, it's the same old story. And yet there's the new story. The old story is like, do you remember when Princess Diane and the Prince of England married? That I don't know if you were around. That was quite a few years ago, and I'm not exactly, but I do remember the royal wedding. The power and the might of England being displayed, the fortune and the, and here was this beautiful princess, Diane, and the beautiful prince, and how corruption, what, and children were born into that. And at the same day that Mother Teresa died, Diane died. And the story got pretty ugly as the I'm not sure of all the details about that, but every story, when you enter into your own kingdom, not the king and queen of England and the story there, but there was another king in the history of the church. It was Henry VIII. And over this same kind of situation that's in the gospel of today, he wanted to marry another woman, and the church stood up against it. And there was the king, Henry VIII, and there was a prophet, Thomas More, and there was a priest, Cardinal Wolsey. So much corruption. Earthly kingdoms collapse. That's the story. Now, beloved sister, look into your own heart. Beloved brother, child, you are a priest. You are a prophet, and you are a king. And so today's scripture are showing me and you that each of us has within us, because when you were baptized into Christ Jesus, the priest anointed you as every earthly king. The Messiah is the king of Israel. The Messiah is Jesus Christ. You were united with him as a Messiah. Every one of you has the oil on your head, on the crown of your head, as Jesus Christ was anointed priest, prophet, and king. So may you live as to gain everlasting life in heaven. Now, today, look into your heart about the kingship of Jesus Christ. Is Jesus, and for whatever state of life you're in, let's begin with marriage. Is Jesus the king of your marriage? Are you, as husband, are you, as wife, keeping the law and the commandment of love? And if you read Ephesians as you examine your conscience today, love of one another as Christ has loved the church. What is your relationship with your wife? Is the kingdom of God and its laws? Are you contracepting? That's not really the kingdom of God. And there is a prophet within you. Who is he? He is Jesus. Jesus is saying, as you come together in your union, this is not what God wants from you. Jesus is that gentle prophet. Where is he? He's within yourself. There's something in you that tells you. You want to learn more about the kingship of Jesus Christ. Why? Because your body is his. Your potential for life is his. You were designed to keep his law, his commandment. But even as you come, that magnificent union that you have, it's from your hearts. So much breakdown in the communion, the union of husband and wife. What is your communication? Do you tell the truth to one another? Is your love revealing and communing one in heart and mind? Is the mind in husband? Are you lying to your wife? Are you open with your husband? Is there anger between you and your wife? Is the commandment of love being lived between the two of you? Today, you are the king and the queen. You are the prophet and you are the priest. As you offer to each other in mutual love, in your state of life and in your marriage, the relationship that you have, as husband and wife is going to be so powerful when you realize that Jesus in you is the Jesus who's your father, to the father to your children. Bless them, love them, correct them, guide them, direct them. The power in you is the same power. You can be a channel of love as father and mother to your child. That God the Father, through you, Christ in you, is the power of God, especially in today's world. There was brought out last night because we had such a, one of the confessional cases was the addiction of pornography. And 8-year-olds, 10-year-olds, 12-year-olds are being addicted through pajama parties, through all around them. Where is your children today? What is your communication with them? Is the kingdom of God reigning in your family? Father, mother, the protection that needs to come around, the love, the truth, the openness in a family. The world and its darkness is wanting to come and crash in on the kingdom. The kingdom of God is there in your family. You have placed him as the head of your home, and he's using you as channels. Teenagers, children, you are called to love one another in your sharing of your toys, in your eating together, in your really being one with members of your family. Jesus has called you, each one, you are Jesus to your father and to your mother. Just as Jesus was to Mary and Joseph, you are to them. Your dignity, you're 9 years old, you are Christ. What is your examination each day as you get up? What kind of young prince are you? How are you keeping his laws in school? Are you cheating? Are you lying? Are you fighting? Are you bullying? What is your love? And how does it radiate through you to be Christ to your classmates? Everyone is a king. Everyone is a prophet to tell the truth. Many times children are much more powerful in just telling the truth than adults. Don't be afraid to speak the truth in love, to correct sometimes even someone who is lying around you or is doing something that's wrong, because then you're extending the kingdom of God. Are you called to be a priest in the kingdom of God? Is this your calling? Brother priests, the power that is in you, you are Jesus in the world. When I speak this with all truth, you are called to be Jesus. Sometimes we're asked to suffer. Sometimes we're asked to suffer. What did Jesus suffer? He was lied about. He was falsely accused. What is the sacrifice that we have as priests at the altar? We offer ourselves. Who was the victim? Jesus offered himself on the cross. I am giving myself wholeheartedly to Christ as the pastor of my parish, as the assistant, and giving myself to the pastor, to the people of God, to be consumed, to be a ruler. You know, when we were discussing the power of Jesus in the confessional over the power of darkness, you are Christ in the world. You, through the cross and suffering of Jesus Christ, through your priesthood, are called upon to drive out the evil spirits, to heal sickness. God is using you. What I have done, Jesus said, you will do, and even greater things. Brother priest, we've hardly begun to use the power within us. Who am I? Every day, 24 hours of every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and today's Friday, every day, not just Sunday. do I preach? Every day, every moment, not just when I'm at Mass, every morning, when I get up from sleep, when I go to bed, when I'm eating, my weekends and my whole life is His. I am Jesus Christ, and I am a king, and I am a priest, and I am a prophet. As we are today in today's world, are you a bishop? Is that your calling? Is that your... Jesus said, I will be with you in your state in life. You are called upon to be a successor to the apostles. How much... Look at the church today. You know, I met a priest in Africa, and he was in Ivory Coast. And I asked him, I was in mission country, and I thought he was going to talk about the needs of his people there. Bishop, what does the church need? The church in Africa needs Jesus Christ. And when I looked at him, you know, I thought he was going to ask me as the director of the pontifical mission for some help. No, Jesus Christ. The first need for that diocese is Jesus Christ. And I'm speaking to your heart, Bishop. The first need that your diocese has is Jesus Christ. And you are He. And He is you. I live, no, not I. And then it was going to happen what happened with Paul in you. I live, no, not I, but Christ in me. And you are not Paul, but you are the bishop of that diocese. Particular time, with all the gifts that the Lord has given you. And you know what will happen? If you really have that prophet within you that is constantly telling you what Jesus would tell you as the prophet, and do you know when that same priest that's in you that will offer himself as victim every day because it's Jesus, not you, you no longer live, your people will see it. Your people will see it. Why is it that we don't see Jesus in our bishops? As we come, every one of us has Christ in the world today. You are called to be, really to be, Jesus Christ. This is what our calling is. I imagine, and right now, as this goes out into the world, that everyone who hears it and hears the truth of it, you know, you're not David the king. You're far greater. You're not John the Baptist. The least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Thank God you're not Herod or one of the kings of old that fell into the power and reputation and might of this world and the king of darkness. No, you are Jesus. That's the truth. And in every place in the world, there is established a kingship. Are you a single person in the world? Jesus promised through the reign of his Sacred Heart, if you give me your life, I will give you the grace to be Christ in your single life. Maybe that's what you're called to be. That's your calling. That's the Father's will. If you're doing what the Father wants, the grace of God will pour through you. In every place in this whole world, Jesus is going to reign. How? Through you. Through me. We are the body of Christ. Our head is in heaven. And all of us are on this journey. Good news, great news, we have food for the journey. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. Not only have I been baptized and confirmed and ordained into his body, but you have food. The most powerful fare, the food, his flesh to eat, his blood to drink every day if you want it, to take advantage of the power of the Eucharist. communion. I am he. Soul of my Savior, sanctify my breast. Body of Christ, be thou my saving gift. My Savior, bathe me in thy tide. Wash me, waters gushing from his side. Strength and protection, may his passion be. O blessed Jesus, hear and answer me. Yes, he does. He wants to. He wants to reign in me. He wants to reign in you. And he will become known. Hail to Jesus Christ. Glory and praise and honor throughout this entire world. He cannot be killed. He cannot be destroyed. He is risen. He suffers in me and you. He dies. When? Today. He wants to use my body and yours to die. Wouldn't it be great, really, if I could die for him today, if that be the Father's will? And then I will rise forever and ever, forever, forever. This is a kingdom of heaven here on earth. Good news for everyone.
Monsignor?
Yes?
How do we distinguish between timidity and prudence when we're being too timid about something or we are being called to be prudent in our speech?
The Holy Spirit is our guide. So many times I think what are we saving if I am fearful? Am I trying to save my reputation? Then maybe what I'm doing is being timid. Am I fearful because I'll be talked about or rejected? What is the source of my fear? If I'm afraid to offend God, if I'm afraid that I am going to, if the evil one is telling me, don't do this because you're going to be ostracized. Don't do this because you're going to be talked about. Don't do this because you're going to be laughed at. Don't do this because you'll never be successful. I think that's timidity. But if you're told by God and the Holy Spirit, don't do this because it won't advance the kingdom of God. Don't say this because it's not really a loving thing to do. When you say this, you're only hurting people, not really extending love to them. Then I believe that's the Holy Spirit that's telling us, be prudent. Don't alienate people. I think that's what our Holy Father is talking about so many times, in the way and the manner that he extends the kingdom of God through and as Bishop of Rome. He's certainly not timid, and he certainly is loving. So every act that doesn't come back to me and my protection and my watching for myself, and usually it's a self-centered thing that makes me timid. And if it's a other-centered thing that makes me prudent, if it's for your good, if it's for your benefit, if it's to love you, then I'll remain silent.
It really does come down to discernment, doesn't it? I mean,
yes.
What are we listening to and what is it feeding? And we really need to have that understanding of what a virtuous response is, don't we?
Yes, yes. How often a priest is not speaking from the pulpit because of it may damage his reputation. But if he's not saying these things from the pulpit for the good and benefit of his people, then I believe That is a love act on his part. He's being courageous and he's being prudent. So he has to pray and discern that.
Final thoughts, Monsignor?
I just love that union and the communion that we have with God. The kingship of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. This little podcast is under the title and the book I have written, The Kingdom of God is a Kingdom of Love. And our mission is to establish the kingship of Jesus Christ throughout the world. And first, the place that it begins is within us. The kingdom of God is within you. My prayer today, as I lay hands on everyone who is listening, through the power of God given to me as a priest, I would love to be for you a channel of God's blessing. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May he show to you his countenance and give you peace. The Lord bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And may each of you experience in the deepest part of your heart an inner joy, an inner peace, and a burning love, that you will know that all of your prayers will be answered by that love and peace and joy you have within you. Amen.